Mr. Speaker, I think to make it most useful, I would recommend a very fair distribution of the spoil, wherein all communities in St. Lucia enjoy a deserved distribution, so as to erase the old patois phrase that St. Lucie, where d'un debout, ek parmitan. A fair dispensation would result in a true spread, Mr. Speaker, of all the resources among the 17 constituencies, just like the STEP program and the housing for aged and dispossessed people of St. Lucia. So far, Mr. Speaker, among the dispossessed persons, we've repaired homes for quite a number of people. As a matter of fact, I think 262 to date. Grosseteste, Mr. Speaker, had 8 houses built and 9 repaired, a total of 12. Babano had 6 houses built, 11 repaired, total of 17. Castries East, 5 built, 15 repaired, a total of 20. Castries South, 4 built and 13 repaired, a total of 17, unfortunately. Castries Northeast, 4 built and 9 repaired, 13 total. Castries Central, 2 built and 7 repaired, 9. Castries Southeast, 5 built and 10 repaired, 15. Ancillary and Canaries, 4 built, 18 repaired, 22. Sophia Fort Saint Jacques, 4 built, 10 repaired, 14. Choiselle Saltibus, 6 built, 9 repaired, 15. Laberie, 3 built, 9 repaired, 12. Viewfort South, 4 built, 14 repaired, 18. Viewfort North, 6 built, 14 repaired, 20. Miku South, 5 built, 10 repaired, 15. Miku North, 5 built, 7 repaired, 12. Denry South, 5 built, 12 repaired, 17. Denry North, 4 built, 10 repaired, 14. That means 75 new houses were built, 187 were repaired. Rosie, they want 2 minutes. Why you disappear, man? 3 built, 9 repaired. Yeah. That's still 12, right? Okay. Mr. Speaker, how you share the day blanc? But even the UWPs who criticize the STEP program, they always call for their fair share. And it's good to hear that some of them express thanks for the same STEP program. In principle of fair share, it should be a theme for the government, which plans to remain in power because a satisfied nation will hold on to that which is good. As the saying goes, Mr. Speaker, in the arena of human life, the honors and reward fall to those who show their good qualities to the end.
George.
Call that, George. So far, this government has shown its good qualities and must continue to the end to do the good work. Mr. Speaker, the day of reckoning is at hand. And I reckon that many St. Lucians are keyed up to find out what's in it for them. In the division of human services, the division of gender relations, the constituency of South Castries and St. Lucia in general. Mr. Speaker, the word budget holds special significance to our people in St. Lucia. In fact, it is a magical feeling for those who are fed with the phrase, wait until after the budget, everything will be well. So when we have come to depend on this big event which heals all problems, we should hold strain for a few months and wait with much hope and expectancy for the day when manna will fall from heaven upon the needy multitude. It must be pointed out that the preparation of a budget is in fact a very stressful period for many of the members of Team Budget especially, who spend many sleepless nights trying to replicate the miracle of the loaves and fish, which usually fall short of its target, much to the dismay of the expectant. Most budgets are insufficient because people do not like to pay the taxes, which provide the monies which will provide us with the necessary means to satisfy our needs. Team Budget must utter a howl of relief to hear the Prime Minister actually deliver the fruit of their labor on Budget Day. Unknown to most of St. Lucia, these hard-working civil servants spend the better part of the year planning and preparing to please the public, which is virtually impossible, human beings being whom we are. The horrors of having to reduce large amounts of money from estimates presented by various ministers, much to the chagrin of the ministers themselves and the planners, who try so hard to meet the needs of our country. Scaling down on estimates which are meant to supply health, life, comfort, education, and other amenities to our people, meet with harsh abuse from many of those who are affected. But the stark reality faces the political representative who must stand face to face with the multitude, especially those who purport to have voted for him or her, to report such shortfalls in the budget. Uneasy is the head which wears the crown, and it is apt expression for our Prime Minister, who has endured a rough month trying to help to get an elephant through a needle's eye in this budget. When the Prime Minister extricated himself from the minister's race during the senior games, I wondered why. But I later recognized on Tuesday that he had been resting for the 3.5-hour marathon he did in presenting the budget. Now I do in my marathon, I have no rest. St. Lucians have been treated to much easier life for the needy. In recent times, they make a lot of things possible for the poorer people. That has been no easy task for the Prime Minister and his government ministers. The focus has been directed towards the poor and needy, with assistance in education, especially in Cuba, where young people who never saw the possibility of attaining a degree via family finances or bank loans have graduated with degrees gratis from the government of Comandante Fidel Castro of Cuba. And today St. Lucia will soon boast of a surplus of doctors, while the other islands need so many doctors. The Chinese embassy has channeled us through the system to provide us with hospitals for better health and sports facilities, which make us the envy of the other islands. Cricket World Cup 2007 organizers have seen a special value in St. Lucia because of our Chinese-built sports facilities. But not only them, Mr. Speaker. We also have the older athletes in the senior games, which bring out the hidden talent of many of our older folk who would normally have been preparing to die at this stage, but today are preparing for athletics contests with their peers in other islands and countries around the world. The new phenomenon of revitalizing our elders is a valuable asset not only for the health of such people, but also for the social life of those who would otherwise have only been marginalized and made fun of by many. But today, they're wearing more medals than even their offsprings. Let me now apprise you of the volume of work done by my secretary and the staff of Human Division Services in presenting the ministry's report. The Ministry of Health, Human Services, Family Affairs and Gender Relations has the theme Implementing Health Sector Reform, Action for Change. The concept of health refers not only to physical health, but mental and social health. In this regard, I have been directly responsible for the following social protection services: substance abuse, gender relations, care of the elderly, family services, care and protection of children, human services to vulnerable groups. Look at an overview of social protection in St. Lucia, Mr. Speaker. According to the document Social Protection and Poverty Reduction in the Caribbean, Examining Policy and Practice, St. Lucia Country Review, July 2004, the concept of social protection refers to all interventions from public, private, voluntary organizations and informal networks to support individuals, families, households, and communities in the effort to prevent, manage, and overcome a defined set of risks and vulnerabilities. According to Government Statistical Department, 40% of the population is below the age of 18 years. This suggests that a large majority of our population are at risk, and this places a serious burden on the limited human and financial resources allocated to social protection services. The government of St. Lucia is committed to an integrated approach to social and economic development. To this end, Mr. Speaker, the government, through its various ministries and departments, continues to undertake relevant programs to fulfill its mandate. Among these are the provision of compassionate and therapeutic human services and the nurturing of a harmonious gender relations environment in its thrust towards social advancement and well-being. We recognize the efforts of persons who have come to help the ministry, like the St. Lucia Red Cross Society, the St. Lucia Planned Parenthood Association, the St. Lucia Blind Welfare Association, AIDS Action Foundation, the Blood Bank, service clubs like Kiwani Rotary Lions, the Poverty Reduction Fund, the Basic Needs Trust Fund, the Drug-Free Clubs, the St. Lucia Blind Welfare Association, St. Lucia Diabetic and Hypertensive Association, St. Lucia Save the Children Fund, the Holy Family Children's Home, Mrs. Faustin's Children's Home, located in Soufrière, the Child Guidance Development Center, Lady Gordon's Opportunity Center, Caring for the Deaf, the Donata School, the St. Lucia Crisis Center, the National Council of and for Persons with Disabilities, St. Lucia Helpage, National Council of and for Older Persons, the Senior Citizens Home, Adelaide and Francis Memorial Home, the Marion Home, St. Lucy's Home, Villa St. Joseph, the Cornerstone, St. Teresa of Calcutta Home, St. Lucia Cancer Society, Salvation Army, $1 Down Trinity Services, which has created employment and made donations to many people around St. Lucia. All of the senior citizens' homes will get increased contributions. Finally, we recognize the efforts of the Ministry of Social Transformation, Culture and Local Government in collaborating with the Ministry of Health in our various initiatives to provide efficacious services to the public. The Ministry of Health intends to develop a 5-year strategic plan to address social protection issues for this country. Human Services and Family Affairs, incidents of child abuse, substance abuse, and domestic violence continue to rob our citizens of their dignity, their self-worth, and their inner peace. The Ministry of Health stands ready to continue to provide direct services to individuals, families, and communities who are vulnerable to these social ills, and there are so many of them in St. Lucia. Over the last financial year, the Division of Human Services provided assistance to 1,040 individuals and their families in crisis. A closer analysis of that data suggests that the child maintenance represents the highest number of cases, that is 31%, followed by the child abuse situation, which represents 23% of all reported cases. Relationship problems present the highest category of cases dealt with in the division, The issue of child neglect and abandonment continues to be a cause for serious concern to the division, as parents routinely migrate to the neighboring island of Martinique, leaving their young children in either other hands, sometimes to fend for themselves, or they place them in the care of relatives, neighbors, friends, some of whom take advantage of these children, Mr. Speaker. While there was a total of 232 cases of child abuse reported by the Division of Human Services and Family Affairs, this figure may not include those from the police, the family court, the St. Lucia Crisis Center, and the schools, due to the lack of an effective data collection system. The division is in the process of developing a centralized database which would present a more realistic status of child abuse on the island. Foster care, Mr. Speaker. The foster care program seeks to provide a safety net for children at risk. The Division of Human Services has the responsibility for the supervision of over 100 children who have been placed in foster care. The division continues to experience serious problems in finding foster carers for adolescents with behavioral and emotional disorders. These children, who are difficult to place, need therapeutic foster carers who will be supported with regular training and the follow-up. The present foster care program is affected by the fact that many of the persons who are desirous of becoming foster carers do not have the financial resources, neither the requisite skills to take care of traumatized and emotionally damaged children with significant behavioral problems. As a result, many children are left in the same abusive home and the family environment, which is not conducive to their health, safety, and psychosocial development. For such children, Mr. Speaker, their life changes, and they have already been compromised, and they may never be able to achieve their full potential. For this reason, the government has committed itself to purchase a building to be used as a transit home for children in the new financial year, and will also increase the financial provisions for foster carers. The senior citizens' home. The senior citizens' home, located at the base of the majestic Twin Pitons, has a total of 50 residents, 24 males and 26 females. This lone government institution for older persons must provide a high standard of care and set an example for private institutions to emulate. Mr. Speaker, not too far off, a group of people came in from Guadeloupe to help the situation in St. Lucia. They were named the main active group. And when we took them to the senior citizens' home, the wife started to cry and the husband got very mad. I was a bit confused as to why that happened, but when I visited Guadeloupe and visited what they call a senior home in Guadeloupe, I understood how they felt when they came to St. Lucia. It was like chalk and cheese. It was like living in a hotel up there and the home we have here. The delivery of quality care can only be achieved with well-motivated staff trained in gerontology. Getting ready for you. The home, which was established on the present site in 1902, has not seen a change in staff structure for 100 years. Upward mobility was non-existent. This situation must be regularized to bring unity and purpose among staff. Therefore, in this financial year, due recognition shall be given to the staff. An attempt shall be made to regularize the discrepancies and improve the physical infrastructure. It is important, however, to commend the newly appointed manager for his efforts at improving the physical conditions of the building and making training available to improve the quality of care and staff morale. Mr. Speaker, it's been quite some time that we've heard about the possibility of changing from there into the Miku area. And we hope that this year that might become a reality. Plans regarding the relocation of the senior citizen homes must be addressed. Public assistance, the division continues to provide support to the aging population, where a total of 2,397,562 was paid to recipients of public assistance. This represents a marginal increase of $220,744 from the last financial year 2003-2004, as 97% of this allocation went towards providing monthly public assistance for a total of 2,781 persons. Other assistance was in the form of providing spectacles, burials, housing, fire victim grants, and honoring of centenarians. As a matter of fact, I think the last centenarian to be honored was Mistress Leontine Leonce of Fort Benier, whose birthday was on the 13th of April, and I congratulate the representative for Soufrière. Citizens around the island benefited from public assistance, with the majority of beneficiaries from Miku and Viewfort, followed by Soufrière and Dennery. The number of new applicants for public assistance in the financial year showed a significant increase of 51% from 123 new applicants in 2003-04 to 238 in 2004-05. The Ministry of Health, through the Public Assistance Program, will continue to try to reduce levels of poverty among the most vulnerable groups, particularly the elderly. This year's budget promises an increase to people who receive public assistance. The Substance Abuse Advisory Council Secretariat has established as government's response to the drug problem in St. Lucia. The Secretariat is headed by a director and assisted by two program officers, a secretary and an office attendant. The objective of the Secretariat is to develop, monitor, and coordinate an effective and supportive campaign against the supply and demand for illicit drugs and the reduction of the abuse of illicit substances. The Substance Abuse Advisory Council Secretariat remains committed to addressing the issues of substance abuse and continues to fulfill its mandate within the existing constraints. The Secretariat is also totally committed to the development of fact-driven evidence-based programs to address the various issues of drug abuse in our society, which is very rampant. Additionally, we believe that drug abuse affects everyone, and therefore it is everyone's business. Consequently, we are all actively involved in finding and implementing solutions to this crisis. You look at gender relations. The Division of Gender Relations is government's machinery charged with the responsibility of ensuring the enhancement in the status of women and the promotion of gender equity and equality. Gender equity and equality are imperatives for the goal of social justice to which this government has committed itself. Thus, there will be a deliberate and sustained effort to integrate a gender perspective into all national development policies, plans, and programs. Violence against women has gained global attention as an issue of serious concern. It's to the extent that this major social problem is regarded not only as a human right issue, but also a development issue, which has serious implications for a country's economic progress. Violence against women negatively affects individuals, families, communities, and the nation as a whole. The consequences are far-reaching when one considers the economic cost of work hours which we lose. Due to the absenteeism and the cost of health care and the support services, Even more astounding is the social cost when one considers the loss of human potential and the capacity to be productive members of society, the loss of self-esteem, anxiety disorders, compromised family life, and the perpetuation of the cycle of violence. Let's take a look at some of the achievements in the ministry. Social Protection Services featured prominently in the past year. The Ministry of Health, Human Services, Family Affairs and Gender Relations maintained committed to ensuring that the vulnerable groups, particularly women and children from abusive homes, receive the necessary therapeutic intervention and counseling services, and the access to secure and safe environments. Some of the major achievements include the following. Gender division. The vision of gender relations in this effort is creating a kinder, gentler society and has adopted a holistic approach to improving gender relations through the implementation of two complementary projects, the Women's Support Center and the development of the Men's Resource Center. The Women's Support Center, government is committed to reducing and ultimately eliminating the problem of violence against women. The establishment of the Women's Support Center in 2001 is a major step in that regard. The Women's Support Center provides a temporary safe haven for women and their children who are fleeing from the life-threatening domestic violence situations at homes. At the center, a well-trained, caring, and competent staff assist clients in rebuilding their lives. During the year in the review, the center received 133 crisis calls from women who found themselves in situations of domestic violence. The center provided shelter for 23 women and 58 children whose lives were in danger as a result of domestic violence. In order to augment the work of the Women's Support Center, the Division of Gender Relations embarked on the Community Response Team Training Project, through which it identified and trained teams of civil-minded individuals in the various communities and equipped them with the skills necessary to make initial interventions in situations of domestic violence in their communities, thus averting many dangerous and life-threatening situations. The Men's Resource Center was officially launched on Friday, March 11th this year. The proposed Men's Resource Center is intended to assist men in coping with situational and life issues. The center will help men to develop and maintain healthy ways of dealing with demands associated with work, family, and other relationships, including associated emotional difficulties. The intent is to reduce the probability that men will cope in ways which present a risk to themselves and to others. It has been difficult to mobilize men around concerns of gender issues, as men are less likely than women to talk about critical events in their lives, such as intimate relationships, emotional matters, parenting, and personal loss. As a result, men have to find ways of coping in an environment that offers few services directed towards their gender-specific needs. It is also widely accepted that men are at a higher risk for perpetuating violence, abuse, and otherwise coping in ways which place them and others at risk. Preliminary findings indicate overwhelming support among men of all ages for the Men's Resource Center project. This was undertaken to provide background information for dialogue. The exercise sought to determine the following points. Where are men now? Apart from this house. What are the positive and negative indicators as we see them? Do any groups exist to address issues of concerns of men? what resources are available which the program can draw upon? What are the gaps to be filled? The delivery mode includes lectures, panel discussions, workshops, and media presentations. The first set of lectures took place in Castries on April 13th, and we moved to Viewport on April 14th of this year. The outcome of the education and sensitization program included an improvement in the understanding of gender relations and the responsibility of men to their families and the wider community. Constructive national dialogue on issues of gender and relationships. An assessment of the challenges and needs facing men of all ages and stages in St. Lucia. An improvement and nature of dialogue between men and women, with an abiding understanding of the complementarity of their roles and responsibilities, thus fostering an atmosphere of healthy and creative coexistence. The Substance Abuse Advisory Council Secretariat, some of the Secretariat's achievements as follows. Securing of financial and technical assistance from the Inter-American Observatory on Drugs to conduct a nationwide school survey on the prevalence of drug use among secondary school students. This will provide an accurate representation of the situation of drug use among students and consequently allow for the development of programs to effectively address the situation as it presents itself today. Securing of technical assistance from the Inter-American Drug Abuse Control Commission to develop drugs in the workplace programs and policies within the public and private sectors, and in addition to conduct a drug use prevalence survey among public sector employees. The ultimate objective is to develop a standard comprehensive workplace policy that will provide assistance to employees and employers in resolving drug abuse related issues in the workplace. These days we don't even allow smoking rooms anymore. The Substance Abuse Secretariat and Turning Point Rehabilitation Center has jointly developed and begun the implementation of an education and sensitization program entitled Wide Awake at Work. This program involves some employers and employees in the private and public sectors and seeks to raise awareness of both of these parties regarding drug issues at work so that they can actively participate in the development of the island-wide workplace policy. The Secretariat hosted an international workshop focusing on substance abuse programming for drug offenders. This workshop brought together professionals from areas prevention, treatment, and penal correctional services so that information could be shared and plans developed to address the most effective means of providing substance abuse service to incarcerated offenders. The workshop also explored the issue of community reintegration and aftercare, which are tremendously important, but up till now, largely overlooked aspects of substance abuse programming. As a result of this initiative, the Bordelais Correctional Facility and the Secretariat are together developing a program to effectively address this issue. The Secretariat also continues to provide drug educational awareness through the delivery of presentation workshops to schools, communities, and workplaces island-wide, such as health facilities, the Upton Garden Center, primary and secondary schools, community groups and organizations. For assistance to enforcement and other agencies, the Secretariat has obtained assistance from the United States Narcotic Affairs Section in providing the Royal St. Lucia Police Force with a photocopy machine, computers and printers, as well as materials for the implementation of the DARE program in schools. The Secretariat is also seeking assistance from the United States Drug Enforcement Agency for the provision of body armor to be used by officers involved in law enforcement operations. The Secretariat continues to function as the liaison between international and local agencies on drug-related issues, and this has resulted in officers from the Customs and Excise Department and the Royal St. Lucia Police Force attending overseas seminars and workshops, adding to their skills and ability to handle varying issues of drug abuse, which they encounter in the execution of their duties. Obviously, lives are in danger, Mr. Speaker. The creation of a standardized manual detailing drug education activities for future use in schools by trained individuals. Participation in a pilot project on assessing emerging drug trends in the Caribbean for completion of research projects on juvenile male offenders for initial standardized qualitative data collection and analysis, and to set a baseline for future interventions and studies. There's participation in a training session hosted by the Canadian Center on Substance Abuse, the CCSA, that focused on the utilization of networks for the conduct of drug abuse intervention programs. Ongoing participation in the multilateral mechanism of the Inter-American Drug Abuse Control Commission to chart progress in drug control and areas of strength and weaknesses on each of the member states of the OAS so that assistance can be obtained from lessons imparted to other nations. Chemical control, recognizing the problem of the abuse and the diversion of pharmaceutical products containing psychotropic substances and narcotics, attempts are being made towards the creation of chemical control regulations and the legislation. This is being done in collaboration with the Chief Pharmacist of the Ministry of Health and the officer in charge of the drug unit of the Royal St. Lucia Police Force. Inter-Island Anti-Drug Camp. In August 2004, the Bexar Primary School was the site of a two-week-long camp for members of various drug-free clubs from Dominica, as well as individuals from local groups. The camp was organized by the Substance Abuse Secretariat of St. Lucia in collaboration with the Drug Prevention Unit of the Ministry of Health in Dominica. As a follow-up to this camp, the Substance Abuse Secretariat, in collaboration with the Bexar Primary School, are undertaking an initiative to tile a section of the school. The project aims to tile 10 classrooms of the Bexar Primary School, resulting in a drastic decrease in the level of dust to which the staff and students of the school have been exposed. A marked increase in the user-friendliness of the classrooms, which can be converted into motivating environments in which the students are able to feel comfortable and actively participate in their learning sessions. It is there to impart the skill of tiling, as well as general life skills, to selected members of the school's community, inclusive of financial management, stress management, substance abuse, and HIV/AIDS. The development of an education program based on real-life experiences of St. Lucians. The program is entitled Decisions and Consequences. It features individuals who have decided to use or not to use drugs and how this decision has impacted upon their lives. This program will be aired in recognition of International Day Against Substance Abuse and Illicit Trafficking and the World No Tobacco Day. Family and Child Services. The appointment of a new Director of Human Services and Family Affairs has strengthened the leadership capacity in this division to respond to the needs of vulnerable groups in our society. Improvement in the relationship with international social service agencies. Some improvement in capacity of family case workers to urgently deal with cases of child abuse. There's improvement in case management practices by family case workers and welfare officers through in-service training. Progress in strengthening of child protection policies through further consultations and lecture discussions on the proposed adoption of the protocol for the prevention, reporting, investigation, and management of child abuse and neglect in St. Lucia. The seminars and lectures focusing on the prevention, treatment, and management of child abuse, recruitment and training of foster carers, training of existing foster carers in the Castries area. St. Lucia fulfilled its commitment to the United Nations High Commission of Human Rights by submitting its report on its implementation of the Convention of the Rights of the Child in accordance with Article 44 of the said convention. St. Lucia is expected to formally present its report at the 39th session of the Committee on the Rights of the Child, which will be held at the United Nations office in Geneva from the 17th of May to the 3rd of June this year. The Year of the Child. There's the establishment of a legislative and monitoring committee with responsibility for reviewing policies and legislation pertaining to children, and the establishment of mechanisms for the administration of all children's services and programs. Work began on the development of a parenting manual to be used for training and educating parents on a national level. The establishment of a mentoring program, the strengthening of the foster care program through the recruitment and training of foster carers in the south of the island and also in Castries. Nutrition and child development exhibition. There was a child cultural expose, the Grand Reverse summer program, the summer therapeutic drama workshop for adolescents. All of these were taken on at that division. Educational assistance program in collaboration with the Poverty Reduction Fund. Through this program, over 300 children attending primary and secondary schools island-wide receive assistance in the areas of school books, uniforms, lunch, and transportation. Senior citizens at home. One, there is the appointment of a new manager. It's the appointment in the physical structure, the improvement in the physical structure of the home. There are some improvements in the capacity of staff at the home to provide better care for the residents through in-service training in gerontology. There's an improvement in staff morale at this moment. You look at the social protection vision. Having made the aforementioned achievements last financial year, the Ministry of Health focused on this financial year, 2005 to 2006, it shall be on strengthening and developing policies and regulatory frameworks with an emphasis on the advancement of social protection. Emphasis shall also be placed on enhancing the psychosocial functioning of children, older persons, individuals, families, and groups by counseling and other therapeutic intervention strategies, focusing on the quality of family relationships and the provision of skills for self-empowerment.
The Honourable Member has 15 minutes remaining to make his contribution.
The Ministry of Health also commits itself towards the development of monitoring and coordinating an effective and supportive campaign against the supply and demand of illicit drugs and the reduction of the abuse of illicit substances. The Ministry of Health is dedicated towards promoting gender streaming, which has been identified as an effective approach in the attainment of gender equity and equality in all aspects of development and across all sectors and programs. Gender mainstreaming is based on the premise that development initiatives impact men and women differently. The gender mainstreaming approach requires a strategic focus on the level of policy and planning, as it looks beyond the promotion of projects and programs for women to the consideration of gender issues across all sectors. The success of any gender mainstreaming effort, however, requires an unflinching commitment and support at the highest policy and decision-making levels. Generally, the Ministry of Health, Human Services and Family Affairs and Gender Relations is committed to provide an enabling environment to promote the social protection of all citizens in the following manner. One, to facilitate the provision of strong social protection services and programs to improve the quality of life of every boy, girl, man and woman and their families. there to strengthen and develop policies and regulatory framework for the institutional care for children and older persons. The institutionalization of a gender analysis framework to guide policy development, implementation, and evaluation. To promote gender mainstreaming as a core component of all programs and projects. To provide a system through which all persons, especially vulnerable groups, are able to access social support services. To continue to develop, enhance, and implement social policies, legislation, and advocate strategies to ensure the social protection of all vulnerable groups with specific reference to children and older persons living with disabilities, victims of domestic violence, substance abusers, and men in particular. To initiate, facilitate, monitor, and evaluate activities undertaken by various bodies involved in the drug issue. To develop a database of relevant drug-related information. To serve as a focal point and liaison between the government of St. Lucia and international agencies for the dissemination of information to schools, communities, and the general public, for the development and support of demand reduction programs, and to function as a resource base for anti-drug efforts. To collaborate with other agencies to advance prevention, treatment, and rehabilitation programs, maintaining a national anti-drug awareness campaign, serve as the core of all anti-drug policy in reference to the substance abuse. Collaborate with law enforcement departments, Turning Point Drug Detoxification and Rehabilitation Center, educational institutions, NGOs, community-based and other interest organizations. We look at the social protection policy direction. The Ministry of Health intends to develop a number of social policies to guide the social protection initiatives for a better St. Lucia in keeping with the theme, Implementing Health Sector Reform Against Action for Change. The following policies shall be developed and adopted in the upcoming financial year. 1. The development of a gender policy. The completion of a draft policy for older persons. The review of the Public Assistance Act of 1967. The review and development of protocols to guide the investigation, assessment, review, and payment of public assistance. The development of a regulatory framework and operational manual to guide residential care of older persons. The completion of the final draft of the protocol for the prevention, reporting, investigation, and management of child abuse and neglect in St. Lucia. This policy will be presented to the Cabinet of Ministers for adoption shortly. Once adopted, professionals working in the area of child protection will be mandated to report all suspected and actual cases of child abuse. Such persons will include medical personnel, the police, social workers, education personnel, school counselors, and ministers of religion. Completion of a draft manual for foster care and adoption program, then the development of a national child and adolescent health policy. This policy will guide the creation and operation of a multidisciplinary national child and adolescent health team, which will facilitate enhanced inter-agency cooperation in the delivery of child and adolescent health care. The development of a manual to guide the delivery of services at the Division of Human Services, Family Affairs, the Substance Abuse Advisory Council, the Secretariat, and the Gender Relations. Having implemented the aforementioned policies to ensure social protection, a 5-year strategic plan will be prepared to operationalize all policies. Meanwhile, the following projects, which began in the last financial year, shall move into implementation phase in this financial year. Projects for this year: establishment of a transit home for children in crisis. Last year, we highlighted the need to obtain a transit home for children to be funded by a grant from the EU government under the Lomé Convention, which made available Stabex funds. The Integrated Child Development Protection Project represents a comprehensive approach to the protection of children. We are happy to report that a home has been finally identified at Lance Road. Refurbishment of the home will commence shortly. The transit home is intended to be a protective and safe environment where children who are victims of all forms of child abuse may be temporarily placed until it is determined that the risk to them has been reduced or removed. The transit home is expected to yield the following results: improve and strengthen capacity of the Division of Human Services to respond with urgency to reported cases of abuse, neglect, sexual exploitation of children. The improvement in child care and case management practices by family case workers in assessment, identification of alternative placements, coordination of removals, and necessary and instituting plans to support a family reunification. There's a reduction in the intergenerational cycle of child abuse. You have to protect us, provide a supportive and healing environment for children until they can be moved into individualized foster care placement or reunited with their families. Fulfillment of government's commitment to the Convention of the Rights of the Child and the transit home shall also create job opportunities. We look at the expansion of the foster care and the adoption program. The number of children in care is expected to grow with the increase in reported cases of child abuse and neglect. The advent of the transit home for children is also expected to increase the need for foster carers and adoptive parents. The success of the transit home for children is dependent on a well-established foster care and adoption program to reduce the risk of institutionalization and facilitate the process of family preservation.
The honorable member has 5 minutes left to make his contribution.
30 minutes, please. Speaker, I beg to move that Order 32 suborder 10 be waived to allow the honorable member to address the House for a further 30 minutes.
Honorable members, the question is that Standing Order 32, suborder B, be suspended to allow the honorable member for an additional 30 minutes to make his contribution. I now put the question. As many are of that opinion, say aye. As many are of a contrary opinion, say no. I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it.
Thank you.
Honourable member, leave is granted.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and fellow parliamentarians, if I was on that side, I might need any time. The foster care program has failed to attract a significant number of foster carers for children, primarily because of the absence of regular financial assistance and other support services. Therefore, the Ministry of Health intends to expand the foster care program to ensure the ongoing recruitment, selection, and training of foster carers. This will also ensure that foster carers will be recognized for the professional role they play and the suitably remunerated situation for the difficult task they perform. Adoptions. Over the years, division is increasingly being required to prepare social inquiry and home study reports for adoption cases through the Attorney General's chambers for children to be adopted locally as well as overseas. Of the many adoption cases for the year 2004, only a few benefited from assessment reports. It is recommended that the division be officially declared as the social service agency responsible for adoption, working in close collaboration with the Attorney General's Chambers and the Eastern Caribbean Supreme Court. Child study. The Government of St. Lucia, in collaboration with the United Nations Children Emergency Fund, the UNICEF, is at present conducting a child study. This is a research exercise which will seek information on the situation of children, their parents, their caregivers, and service available for their growth and development. The study will provide information on the cause and effect of childhood vulnerability. A number of key variables to be examined in this study include the family structure, parent migration, poverty situation, unemployment, illness and death, parental skills, child labor, child abuse, sexual activity, HIV, disabilities, access barriers to social services. During the month of April this year, a number of focus group discussions and key information interviews have been held. However, a significant component of the study is a household survey where 780 households selected at random will be visited, and the principal caregivers will be asked simple questions. Questions about the household, the children in their care, and other family matters. Should your household be selected, please give the enumerators your full cooperation. We may be aware that investing in programs and services for children is widely acknowledged as being the best way to combat poverty and its attendant social and economic problems, which also have implications for the overall development of the nation. Children are often the first to be affected by poverty, illness, and family crises. We therefore need to measure these social phenomena in order to safeguard the children who are the future of this nation. Development of a national child abuse prevention program. The ministry, with the support of UNICEF and under the Integrated Child Development Project, intends to implement a child abuse management training program. This program will strengthen the capacity of social workers, community workers, school counselors, healthcare workers, media practitioners, lawyers, and the police in child abuse management. Development of a national parent education program is on. This project shall seek to provide parents with skills necessary to reduce the incidence of child maltreatment. It will also sensitize and educate parents of all forms of violence and the long-term effect of abuse on children. Care of the elderly. The ministry has a balance of $175,000 from the EU funds for the Care of the Elderly project. Last financial year, a number of senior citizens benefited from the home repair project, which you heard of. The remaining grant financing shall be used to strengthen the policy and regulatory framework for older persons in this financial year. Other activities to be implemented this year under this project include completion of a draft policy for older persons, review of the Public Assistance Act of 1967, review and development of protocols to guide the investigation, assessment, review, and payment of public assistance. The development of a regulatory framework and operations manual to guide residential care of older persons. Development and implementation of a community strategy for the care of older persons. The training of caregivers. We have the restructuring of the Division of Human Services. The existing staffing structure of the division includes family caseworkers and welfare officers. During this financial year, it is expected that the division shall be restructured to become the Department of Human Services and Family Affairs, with clear subdivisions to allow for specialization of tasks and improve efficiency. There shall be three clear divisions, namely the Child Protection Service Division, which includes Transit Home for Children, the Family Service Division, and the Welfare Service Division, which include the Senior Citizens Home and the Public Assistance Program with the Educational Assistance Program. It is therefore envisaged that the restructuring of the division will allow for a more equitable distribution of resources and quality service delivery in child protection, family services, welfare services to older persons and vulnerable groups. Men's Resource Center, the Men's Resource Center project, is one response in creating a professional environment which focuses on men's issues. Getting men involved in the solution of the multifaceted problem of gender relations in a developing society and equipping men with the tools for life in family, community, and society on a whole. This financial year, the project will enter its second phase, which comprises a nationwide public education program that will be comprehensive, complete, and sustained. The initial activity of this segment shall be a situation analysis of the status of men in St. Lucia. The next phase of the project will see the actual establishment of a facility which will provide a wide range of services to men. These services include individual and group counseling, information and referrals, community outreach programs, peer assistance programs. Special focus will be on areas such as partner relationships, spirituality, parental responsibility, social responsibility, and ethics for young men at risk, male mentoring, and healthy lifestyles. The Women's Support Center. During the course of the financial year, the new management structure will be implemented. The existing management committee will be part of a capacity building exercise to strengthen their skills to manage the operations of the facility. The terms of reference will include the development of a financial plan for the sustainable financing of the center. It is hoped that in the future the management committee will hand over to a non-governmental organization. This was one of the conditions of the EU agreement. Concerning the completion of the report on St. Lucia's implementation of the Convention for the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, CEDAW, St. Lucia is a signatory to the convention. As such, it is required to submit periodic reports. Despite several attempts, a national report has never been submitted. The Division of Gender Relations has completed St. Lucia's initial report to CEDAW for submission by June of this year. A national consultation with representatives of all stakeholders was recently held on Friday, 5th of April 2005, to discuss the draft report and make input into the final document. Substance Abuse Advisory Secretariat. As the government agency responsible for the coordination of all drug demand and drug supply reduction activities island-wide, has identified four main areas of interest to be targeted during this year. These areas will form the core of the Secretariat's work program, although there will be other initiatives undertaken, and the Secretariat will certainly continue to respond to the public's request for information and assistance. One is the school population, the workplace population, the incarcerated population, and the creation of a drug information network. The challenges and priorities and strategies. Staff. The execution of the Secretariat's program priorities is continually hindered by the inadequate staff complement. This became more critical in the past year as the Secretariat experienced some sudden changes, ultimately resulting in one less individual to carry out the work of the office. This, in addition to some still vacant posts within the unit, have presented some challenges to the effective execution of the mandate of the Secretariat. The equipment. Given the many of the programs which are focused on education, there's a need for appropriate equipment for the reproduction of relevant literature for dissemination. Funding. The Secretariat is limited in its capacity to maximize access to training opportunities as governmental funding is not readily available. The school program. Objectives of that program are to raise the level of awareness regarding drugs and related issues among students and teachers through provision of comprehensive standardized drug education programs. To develop and implement a standard policy informed by the current situation of drug abuse in schools for addressing drug-related problems in other schools. Activities is the consultation with district and school guidance counselors, consultation with all drug-free clubs island-wide, preparation and distribution and training of the use of school manuals, the implementation of national schools survey, with assistance from the Inter-American Observatory on Drugs, the development and distribution of comic books and coloring books for drug and HIV education through use of local folklore settings and situations. The workplace program, its objectives are to raise the level of awareness among employers and employees regarding drugs and related issues, to develop and implement a comprehensive drug and workplace policy. The activities include the delivery of drug education program to all major places of employment island-wide, public service survey to determine current situations, consultation with employers and employees, inclusion of drug education component in training of new recruits, police, fire services, etc. The offender program, the objectives of that would be to determine proportion of incarcerated population with drug-related issues and problems, to provide substance abuse education and intervention services to the inmates, to assist inmates with reintegration into society upon their release, to develop and implement a comprehensive standardized drug education intervention program for young offenders in collaboration with the Department of Probation and Parole. Activities. They have reviewed and amended as necessary the prison intake document to capture required drug-related information. They will conduct comprehensive ongoing drug education sessions with inmates and supervisors, as well as young offenders, to conduct regular counseling intervention sessions with selected inmates, to hold regular sessions with families of selected inmates, to counsel with employers in communities of selected inmates for development of support programs and provision of incentives to prospective employers. Drug Information Network. The objective of that would be to collect and maintain database of drug-related information to provide a clear and factual snapshot of the situation in St. Lucia regarding all aspects of substance abuse to be used, among other things, for informing future programs and interventions. The establishment of a St. Lucia Drug Observatory. The activities there would be activation of the Advisory Council, development of a system of communication among agencies, development of information sharing systems, the training and consultations with the Inter-American Drug Abuse Control Commission and the Government of France. Human Services and Family Affairs. At the Senior Citizens Home, there is need for in-service training, regularization of staff positions, change nomenclature of the job titles, and regularized salary discrepancies, active traveling and mileage allowances, procure a vehicle for the home. Improvement in the public assistance program, comprehensive review of all recipients of public assistance, development of a database for public assistance. Improvement in the conditions of payment at the Castries City Council. Discussion has been laid with this council towards payment of recipients inside of the auditorium, thus protecting the elderly from the sun and the rain and having them to stand for long hours in the open. Increased access to services. There's a restructuring of the division, the identification office space for family case workers and welfare workers in the communities of Miku, Anslery, Canaries, and Babono. We must improve travel conditions for the welfare officer in the south of the island, who covers the communities of Beaufort, Auger, Labrie, Saltibus, Choiseul, and Soufrière, with a caseload of over 300 clients. Subventions to the NGO. Development of a memorandum of understanding, the MOU, between the Ministry of Health and all NGOs. The NGOs are to supply quarterly reports of their activities and programs before receipt of quarterly allocations. The assignment of liaison officers to each NGO. Better case management systems and procedures. One will be in the in-service training, group intervention programs to be implemented, annual staff retreat to help staff cope with compassion fatigue, which is the stress response to helping vulnerable people. The implementation of the second phase of the Child Abuse Data Registry. The implementation of a client database system to ensure accurate collection of data to inform and enhance planning and policy development. Communication strategy, that is the development of a comprehensive communication strategy to educate the public on all aspects of child abuse, child welfare, older persons, and the promotion of best parenting practices. I think this brings us to the end of the, the ministry's focus. Mr. Speaker, in conclusion, I need to big up my constituency of South Castries big time. As persons who have stood with me through thick and thin in Castries South for 30 years, I think they fully deserve the personal representation which I bestow upon them daily. Anytime a constituent says to me, "Brother Maka, well," I recognize him or her as a total supporter who genuinely loves and misses me, because I am always visible in the area, even when some complainants are in other parts of the area. Most afternoons after my work at the Human Services, I drive into my constituency because the road to my home in the north is congested with traffic, so I spend the time in the constituency with my people. I must add that the advent of television has kept many constituents indoors and reduced the personal camaraderie which we enjoyed in the bars in the open air in previous years. Many blame the crime situation for the remaining indoors, since gunplay and street attacks are more prevalent than before. We need, therefore, to focus on better family life to keep the street boys occupied in gainful effort. I have tried to keep my youth aware of the various opportunities for employment and training with offers like the YAP program, construction projects. I've even offered to have them join the military forces in the US and the UK. They know how to catch it. The hotel opportunities, like at the Marigot Discovery Bay Hotel and the JJ Hotel, which is about having an extension of some 64 rooms, possibly before the World Cup ICC 2007 cricket matches. The total construction of the new psychiatric hospital coming in Fulash in the Cicero area would be $35.9 million. This includes the construction of the facility and the site preparation. Mr. Speaker, oh, what a tangled web we weave when once we promise to deceive. Various utterances bandied around the island of St. Lucia, and more specifically in the constituency of Castries South, about my future in local politics, have achieved the desired effect of causing more excitement into a test political climate. However, it has usurped much of my previous and precious constituency time to engage in replying to wagging tongues, which consequently have frightened some and emboldened others. My simple retort to these inquirers is that decision lies with God and the people of my constituency. Si bon Dieu ba moi santé et Jean Castries so besoin moi, c'est pas problème pour moi rester. Mais si yo trouvé un meilleur monde passer moi pour représenter you aussi, ça pas problème. Ma ka weste an kay mwen, gade fami. I believe that I am possibly the most caring representative in St. Lucia, who devotes his life to his constituents, and that's a very hard man to replace. I have developed an unchallengeable relationship with my people, which is beyond reproach, but at times outside influences and lack of timely support can work against the interests of your own happy constituency to create disruption. There have been 30 years relationship between my constituents and myself. And even when as an independent candidate I lost the election, nothing changed between us. In fact, I had more time then, so I was re-elected again. To my way of thinking, after such a long association, there is no doubt in the minds of my people. If I'm needed, I stay. If not, I go. Let us now make a cruise through South Castries. At Ciceron, two new proposed hospitals should be the big attraction with opportunities for most people of the area, from all different walks of life, doctors to handymen, contractors to vendors. The year-round maintenance of roads, light solid waste, school books, houses for the elderly, STEP program, donations from the Guadeloupe group of main active, the computers and the other necessities, and we have just been offered an ambulance from Guadeloupe. The new study school serving many residents plans to renovate the multi-purpose court activities and the people who fight substance abuse, the drug-free group. We need to help, or we also get help from the Radio 100 crew to repair homes. Among other goodies, we have spent $64,000 on road repairs and $53,000 on street lamps. So we're moving on. Where is there? In Goodlands, the resourceful residents have developed the hillside with an array of restaurants and service huts which bring the community very alive on evenings, especially on weekends. Promises from Basic Needs Trust Fund and Poverty Reduction Fund are yet to accrue after many meetings, but we are hopeful that the interior road will be done and with it possible lands from geese industry for our community center. Where there is life, there is hope. At Basse Joseph Ticolon, much has happened with the personal effects of groups and the development committee. They recently enlivened the Wop Duet contest in the valley. The Volvo City self-help footpath has been done, costing $10,000, and the search is on for more lands to provide a community center and possibly a health center, if the land prices are available, affordable, and suitable. Visits to areas of land slippage have been affected by the Ministry of Communication and Works for early attention, while $120,000 have been spent on road repairs for the year, with $5,000 spent on street lamps. The clamor for a playing field and sports facility has been dampened by the mountainous topography of the Bar, that's Bar St. Joseph, but requests from the community are for a steel band to occupy the youth, steps to the Lakwamengo school, drainage to avert land slippage in the area, which is very bad at this time, more public lights to prevent crime in remote areas, the increase in public assistance to the elderly, that is on the way. At Marigo, the advent of a new secondary school in 2005 has created some excitement, with hopes of employment and reduction of transport costs for students. But the bigger concern is the regular procrastination in selling the Lapel lands for housing purposes to the people of Marigo, especially since it is always threatened with some other type of development. The proliferation of hotels in the Bay Area necessitated a new police station, which now serves its purpose beautifully. The recently opened Kiddies Park, funded by Discovery Bay Hotels, is a welcome sight. The extension of street lamps at the cost of $7,000 was effected, and plans for road extension and repairs are being considered. The recently built playing field has been heavily utilized by the males, while the female pleads for a sports facility, Minister. However, Marigo recently experienced a heavy land slippage which resembled the Tapio disaster. And on a visit from the officials from the Ministry of Communication and Work, it was decided to be private land. But the situation is being monitored. The eyes have it.
The honourable member has 5 minutes left.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I am three-quarter way through the trip. At Fulasho, Banan, life has taken a new dimension with the transfer of the old geese banana shed into a modern Slaspa wharf terminal, with all its perks of jobs, more small business opportunities, restaurants, entertainment, guest houses, gift shops, taxis, and handicraft for the locals. To make it easier, new sidewalks have adorned both sides of the Latok Highway. To add to their luck, the Chinese government has just agreed to upgrade the Banan playing field to a tune of $192,300. Efforts are on stream to renovate the Comfort 2000 Kiddies Park by the Ministry of Sport, regularly referred to as John's Park by some people in here. A proposal to introduce a CORIC facility at the Fulasho Community Center to teach computer and internet technology, to sharpen the skills of the youth and other interested bodies. A local community development management group has been organized to coordinate the project. Lands have been identified near the Hadesad restaurant to build a satellite warehouse for the disaster management organization to facilitate the South Kastri disaster victims if necessary. That's on lot number 0848C59, right by the Banan Bay roundabout. Plans are being discussed to improve the Latok Highway pedestrian crossing. A new bus stop for the Viewfort buses have been installed at the river bank near the old cemetery in front of Agatha's refreshment house on Latok Road, increasing the possibilities of trade. There are also plans to address flooding problems, repairs to the George Cooper Road, restoration of the link road between Oceana Restaurant and the tunnel passover, extra footpaths in the Banan area, an inventory of human resource skilled personnel, some sponsorship for business enterprises for youth enhancement programs, and some adult education programs. So we are in top gear. In closing, Mr. Speaker, I wish to leave a thought with the relevant ministry. Our government must legislate to regulate the license plates on vehicles, to have some uniformity, and to remove the situation where three or more vehicles carry the same registration number in different styles. In fact, may I suggest that the government of St. Lucia issue the registration plates themselves for a fee, and possibly give a contract to the drug-free club of Marigot or Ciceron to produce them. I pause to extend thanks and appreciation to all who assisted me in the presentation of my budget address, people like my family, my secretary, my planners, my director, and my constituency group, along with the entire ministry and all other stakeholders. My fellow St. Lucians, the mandate of the Ministry of Health, Human Services, Family Affairs, and Gender Relations represents a mammoth task, as you must have recognized from the length of stuff that I had to go through here. While my colleague minister will address the challenges of his mandate more specifically, allow me to appeal to you for your support. My ministry is in a reform mode. This year we will focus on action for change. By now you will appreciate the fact that we cannot do this alone. Success in real terms will be dependent upon the support we receive from all stakeholders. To the general public and technical officers, I say, do not hesitate to play your part in our development. Sate, c'est affaire nous toutes. Mr. Speaker and staff of the Parliament, including the lounge, fellow parliamentarians, our police protection, our gallery, our press members and listeners, all around St. Lucia, may God bless you all. I thank you, Mr. Speaker.